Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg Bowes on the other side of the glass. It's a what, Mr. Crenshaw?
Game day Sunday.
Thank you. Well, Sunday morning.
Okay. Game day Sunday morning.
Shout out to everybody from the station over at the Smooth Lock. Get ready for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, which follows us. And, of course, get ready for today's action between the Falcons and the Cowboys pregame at 11, kickoff at 1 o'clock. And, no, I do not think revisiting something that we just talked about. If you're just joining the show, we had a guest on earlier from Dallas who alluded to possibly if Jason Garrett is no longer the coach of this team, that it might be the coach of the Saints once Drew Brees. Once Drew Brees leaves the stage,
because
Sean Payton may be available.
He has a tie.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't.
A tie to Dallas.
I just don't think it's happening. Again, I think he got with his buddy Bill Parcells after his stint there, and Sean would like to, you know, I think he'd like to be somewhere else. You know, I just do. That's just me. Now, you know, one that popped to mind, imagine if this guy got a hold of Phillip Rivers his last few years, what he could do.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Going from one all-time great to another. We'll talk about that another time. But as he does every week during the football season, Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joins Hugh and John, as he did this week. And they started things off talking about how the coach got this team ready after the Browns' loss.
Well, number one, we run right back to the process of getting ready. And I know you've heard me say that. It's deeper than words. You know, it's all the stuff that goes into getting ready. Game plan, the learning, you know, getting your body right, getting your technique right. So we run right back to it. And so that's what's nice about the game week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each kind of has its own preparation part, theme to it, you know, how to get right. And so that's what we're right back to him.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Falcons and the Cowboys and, of course, rehashing what happened in Cleveland.
You know, Coach, we were real excited when we saw Deion Jones on that 53-man roster. How cautious are you going to be with him working him back this week?
Well, we're going to take great care of him, number one, because he is so important. So I think the best, you know, way to go about it, Hugh, is let's take him all the way through a full week where, you know, he can, you know, really get ready to play. And so we won't have any updates, you know, for a while. So that way we can take it all the way through the week. And when he's ready to go, that's when we'll, you know, make him active. So until that time, you know, we're not going to put him out there until he's 100% ready.
All right, we understand the 100% ready thing. Since the topic is there, let's go ahead and expound on it, even though it's early. What about the health of the team? Are we seeing Matt Bryant back anytime soon? Anybody else we need to be brought up to speed on?
Yeah, I think there's a chance with Matt. He's going to kick on Thursday. And so after practice Thursday, I think we'll have a good assessment of where he's at. He'll take his, you know, full load, and he's definitely close. So he's chomping at the bit to get going. But, you know, we'll take it through Thursday. That's the day that he normally kicks, John. So we'll take it through that day, and I'll have a good, you know, assessment for you by the weekend. Or, excuse me, after Thursday's practice.
And anybody else are we looking at, or are we pretty much, you know, as close as you can be to I guess, Coach, with season-ending injuries, let's call it full health.
That's right. And so that's, you know, been, you know, something that, you know, when you, after a game, you have a chance to assess where the team's at and health-wise. So we're in pretty good shape heading into today's practice and this week's game. And that's always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn, getting ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Ben Garland came out and talked about, you know, some of the reaction that we got from you and from Devondre and other people after the Cleveland game about the fact that you can use that as a moment where everybody kind of goes, oh, no, or you can play the victim, or you can use that as a rallying cry. Do you get a sense of urgency now that from this point forward, every game is like a playoff game for this team?
You know, the mindset and the attitude every time you go, brother, you got to bring all you got. And we know this matchup, although the two records of the teams aren't good. Think about all the battle that's going to go for. So we're really excited for this game and for us to have a chance after, you know, a couple weeks on the road to be back home. You can bet, you know, we're ready to get rolling in a big way.
You know, Coach Ezekiel Elliott, how does he compare to the running backs that you face, like a Saquon Barkley, Adrian Peterson, and a Nick Chubb? Where does he rank in the hierarchy of running backs that you've went against this year?
Sure. I would say, much like Barkley, I guess probably that'd be the first way to start, where he's a factor in the run game and the pass game. So I believe he's their second leading receiver. So to have, you know, that many catches, it's screens, it's shots down the field, he's out of the backfield. But from a running standpoint, I would say one of the things that he has that patience, Hugh, to wait for it and then explode and hit the hole. So those are the things I've noticed about him. He can take the handoff. He's almost waiting for that block to set up, and then the explosion happens. He sticks his foot in the ground and goes. So those are the things. I think his vision and his patience really sets him apart. And then I'd say, just like the other guys in the run game, and then he's as much a factor in the pass game as well.
Yeah, it was interesting to have you guys have Coach Quinn joining us. Such success in corralling Saquon and Adrian Peterson, and then to have Nick Chubb, you know, do what he did last week
here. Yeah, it was definitely something that, a long run like that, we got to get him down. And so those were the ones that it's hard to recover from. And when that happens, we go right back to it and make sure we got our technique and everything aligned like we want to. So that's what we got
to
do.
Yeah, back to technique here. Let's talk about technique in terms of the last time you faced Dallas, they didn't have Zeke Elliott. And you were able to get to Dak Prescott a lot in that game. Baker Mayfield wanted to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We understand that. I mean, is it a chance maybe this week that that pass rush you're hoping now with Bruce Irvin now getting his feet underneath him and with Tack and with Vic that you can affect the quarterback this week?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. But it really comes down to, playing us, better on first and second downs to create some of those moments where our third downs are longer and the 2 minutes to go. So, each game's different and each matchups are, like you had, mentioned earlier, different teams, different players, but, every week, we're kind of looking to dig into that topic and hopefully have some more chances to, get our pass rush up and going, certainly with the addition of Bruce, into the mix.
You know, Coach, you talk about being a different players and everything like that. How is Dak different this year as opposed to the quarterback that you faced last year?
Yeah, I'd say, I think, number one, he's, completing at a high percentage. Certainly with Amari there, he's been somebody that has a lot of targets as well. He's kind of good at all the routes, Hugh. Like he, with a steep ball, crossing routes, he can, work inside and break guys off. So I think that's probably, a significant help. But back to, Dak, the ability for him to create two plays, the first play starts and then he can break outside the pocket and now a second play just begins. So I think those are things as a defense that you have to prepare for, you have to practice. And then in the run game, he has an option element to him as well. So truly a dual threat quarterback this week who can extend plays. And we've certainly played guys who do that, and we'll have to rely on some of that experience as well to make sure you're prepared when the second play and he scrambles out that you're ready to plaster onto your guys and keep on going.
Dan Quinn joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Last week, so many of those things that you had worked on that you had excelled at or on offense, gotten so much better. Third down, red zone, short yardage. Really, they kind of reared their heads against Cleveland, especially, the third down and the short yardage. You're addressing these kind of things here, when you're talking about a half yard away from a goal and how frustrating it must have been for this offense to, be out of balance at 52 passes, 19 rushes and whatnot. A focal point this week to try and get those, third and shorts and those red zone stuff, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure. The red zone, is a spot that we've made significant progress in third down as well. So, we intend to get right back to, the things that have made us successful in that spot. We've got a good scheme for it. We know what to do. So now we got to go and execute that plan really well. So Dallas has a good red zone defense. They're one of the top, defenses in that spot. And we perform well in that area too. So those are some of those matchups that are the games within the game. We certainly got out of balance from our run pass. But that happens when you're down like we were in the third quarter or towards the end of the third quarter, where you have to do whatever you have to do in that game to try to win. So as we go back to it, that one's behind us. And all of our focus, all of our attention is just about kicking ass and playing as good as we can this weekend, against Dallas. And like I said earlier, just, the fact that we get to come back home after a couple weeks on the road, that's a good thing for us and for the fans.
We're joined by Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, establishing the run early and getting back into that balance and being able to go. Coach, there was a moment in the game last week, and Dave Archer talked about it on a couple of occasions where it seemed as though, and I'm not trying to bag the referees, but there was one referee kept getting kind of in the way from, standing over the ball and was not letting you guys snap it and get into the kind of rhythm you wanted to go at. I would imagine if you can get into, it seems to me, if you can get back into that pace, that would be a good.
And we will find out that answer later today.
Okay.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And we have technical problems from time to time. It's all right. Coach Dan Quinn, who joins John and Hugh every week right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's a lot to digest.
It is. And all right, so what's the first thing you took away that you're going to be focusing on? For me, it's going to be Ezekiel Elliott, because the last time, as he said, these guys went up against him, he wasn't there.
Okay.
And he seems to be wilding out a little bit this second part of the season.
He is. It seems like he's in great form. I also think he wants more pressure on Dak Prescott. I feel like you want to see more of that this time, like we saw when they played him last year. And the fact that Matt Bryant is hopefully back. He was up and running as much as he runs in practice this week. So hopefully we'll get to see him make it back.
I just want him kicking extra points. That's it. That means things are happening in a positive way in the red zone. We don't have to take three.
Okay.
He's coming in kicking at 1 point. That's what I want to see.
That'd be good.
You know, not don't put any strain, no pun intended, on that hamstring, and just, you know, this is the game that I want to see this team look like the team that the next week people locally and nationally start talking about. Oh, Matt Ryan, there's the MVP player. This is the team that played in the Super Bowl. This is the team that looks, you know, and they always talk about the hot and cold Atlanta Falcons. Well, I want that hot one today.
Yeah.
You got smacked around a little bit last week. You learn from Cleveland. You come in here and you take care of business with a Dallas team that ain't all that scary, to be honest with you.
But they are strong in the red zone, and that's where the Falcons have had some problems. That's the big key, I think, is getting to the red zone and getting by this Dallas defensive unit that is strong there.
Save the rest of those questions. D-Led is up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It is Sam and Greg. We are efforting Mr. D. Orlando Ledbetter, beat writer for our Atlanta Falcons. I think he's kind of just laying back because you ain't been giving us that game day Sunday morning like you do.
Why you say that?
I'm just saying, you know, people get worked up. You wake folks up with that.
You think so?
And I think because of the trip, if you're just joining the show, Sam was with Georgia State yesterday, and they had a bus ride that was just crazy. And he talked about all kinds of parts of North Carolina that I never heard of before. And now he's come back with a little bit of a something in his throat.
Yeah, man.
He's saying he can't give you the usual. He can't.
I can do it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, if you can't bring it, then go to the sidelines and get somebody else. You want to give us one?
It is a game day Sunday.
Okay, that's about 75% for you. For you? That's all right, though. Anyway, as we continue to go for D-Led, listening to Coach Quinn, who we just heard of a minute ago, we hear Coach Dan Quinn every Sunday, a replay from his appearance with John and Hugh every Wednesday. Oh! And he brought up a couple things, and now that we do have D-Led, I guess that can be the first question I was going to have for you, Mr. Crenshaw. The Deion Jones effect, still not going to be there today.
No.
Plan. I was looking for two things as we got into this game with the Cowboys. I was looking for what Bruce Irvin was going to bring as far as coming off the edge, and Deion Jones. We're not going to have Deion Jones, but D-Led, welcome to the show. And what kind of performance are you looking out of Bruce Irvin today?
Yeah, Greg and Sam, thanks for having me. I'm looking for Bruce Irvin to get more snaps. You know, they haven't had much of a pass rush. Packers only had one sack in the last five games, and Beasley's only had one this season. So, you know, he only played 14 snaps last week. I'm thinking they'll up him to 25 to 30, and maybe he gets after the quarterback today.
D-Lay, you know, this was one of the games last year where the Falcons were great. They had great pressure on Dak Prescott when they played here a year ago. I'm sure the Cowboys haven't forgotten that, but this is a team that can go out and get after him and put some pressure on him early, force him into some mistakes probably.
Yeah, no question. Tyron Smith didn't play that game last year, Sam, so they have him today. So there won't be a lot of free runs to the quarterback like Adrian Claiborne was able to get last year. So, you know, that'll help Dallas' pass protection out immensely. And, you know, the Falcons just haven't rushed the passer very well this year.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. What do you see happening this week that didn't happen last week? Because a lot of us were scratching our head, didn't think that Cleveland was going to take it to this team the way they did.
Yeah, Cleveland came straight with some power football, Greg. Dallas will try to do that, you know, today with Ezekiel Elliott. So the Falcons aren't ready to tackle like they did against Adrian Peterson when they played the Redskins, and Saquon Barkley when they played the Giants. If they don't do that, it could be a long day at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Encouraged by the fact that Matt Bryant is back running at practice today and regular, and is back ready in the lineup today, Greg says he hopes he only has to kick extra points today. But
yeah, I don't want to see any long field goals.
What does it mean to have him back?
Well, it's a boost to the team. They know that Matt Bryant is clutch, and he's the guy that's going to make his kick. Certainly Giorgio Tavecchio did a great job in his absence, making 5 of 5 field goals and 8 of 8 point after touchdown attempts. So, but Matt Bryant's a guy that you don't even have to think about it. He's so reliable that the players really could just go out and play and not even worry about the kick. So it'll be good to see him back out there today.
D, listen, we heard from game one that Coach Dan Quinn was talking about balance. He wanted to have balance with this offense. So teams did know how to prepare. Now, some injuries have affected that. But as they go into this game, last week that seemed to be lacking. We've talked about a couple of different players, but do you think that they can hit a switch and show some balance that he has been talking about in the past weeks?
Yeah, Greg. What happened last week was they the run game was working, but they got behind all of a sudden. It was 14-10. Then after Muhammad Sanu stuck the ball out and got the stupid fumble, they went down 21-10. Then they turned into a passing game. So they had to get away from the run, early in the third quarter. So if they can stay, if the score is close, they can stay in contact. Then they can continue to run and throw off of the run game. And that's what's worked for them best this year.
Spending time on the WadeFor.com outline this morning. With D. Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com, you can follow him on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC. Red Zone, D. Led. Talk about that today and the importance of when the Falcons get there, being able to get 6 instead of 3.
Yeah, Sam, that's a big one. From the second game to the Cleveland game, they were 17-21 in the red zone. Steve Sarkisian was pretty hot. Last week, it didn't work so well. He got stopped on the half-yard line, couldn't get into the end zone in the red zone. So, they need some more power in the offense. You need to have the fullback after. You need to be able to put some players in the backfield and run the ball directly at people. So you're not trying to throw passes in the red zone, and you're not trying to throw passes from the half-yard line, which is what they did against Cleveland on fourth down. They tried to hit Eric Thalbert in the end zone instead of running the ball down the Browns' throat. So they need to do that. They need to have some more power packages.
Falcons beat writer D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, listen, we got to ask you, all right? You sound kind of like you're playing hurt a bit. Your voice is going?
A little bit, yeah. It was Founders Day last night.
Okay.
That's what's up. we had another friend on early in the show. We had Newey Scruggs was on from Dallas, and he was always talking about the Cowboys and things. So, you were with the bros last night. I can understand.
So, listen, as a football fan, we want to get your thoughts on this. That the debacle that was going to take place in Mexico City and the NFL continuing to go down to that city to have games. What are your thoughts on do you think they need to continue going down there?
I like their move to have more international games. And they definitely have done that, going to Europe and trying to expand their fan base internationally. Mexico's probably fine. I think you need to go out to the Far East as opposed to Mexico. I don't think that's really worth the expense of the time.
My thing was they've had a lot of time to know that the NFL is coming and not to have the field not be playable and not acceptable.
It's Shakira's fault. It's her fault.
I don't know whose fault that is, D-Led, but I mean, this is a big event. Look at how many more games are being played in Europe. In Mexico, you're right down the road, and you come for this one game, and your field's not right.
Yeah, they didn't like the field last time. They didn't like the locker rooms being so far away. They definitely should have did a little bit more work at Azteca Stadium to get things up to par.
Yeah, see, it's all about soccer down there. Listen, D, we feel you, and go rest your voice, man. We're not going to keep you here. We appreciate you coming on and bringing the knowledge this morning.
Sure, no problem, Greg and Sam. Take care. Have a great day.
All right, take care. D. Orlando Ledbetter. What's that like where he was talking about where he was at last night?
It was Founders Day for our fraternity. Yesterday was Founders Day, so Omega Psi Phi fraternity day. All the brothers out there. And I'm on a bus, right?
Right.
Right, so I didn't get to go there.
Where would that have been?
There were different places around. I don't know which one he was at, but there are a lot of different celebrations on Founders Day, a lot of programs to take place, but in some fellowshipping as well. So
yes.
He led, obviously, with this is some good fellowshipping.
10 ounce pints of fellowship.
That's what it is. But he's going to be right by game time. He's going to be right by game time, I promise you.
For Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, for those of you who weren't here yesterday, I railed on this game in Mexico City. And again, I don't have a problem with the NFL trying to generate revenue streams from outside the borders here. I don't have a problem with that. It's that particular city, okay? And I got up here with Dan Kamal yesterday, and he tried to make, he tried to spin that certain kind of political spin to it, and ain't got nothing to do with that. I love me some Cozumel, some Cancun. I have had big times in Cabo San Lucas.
They don't have stadiums there.
No, I know that, but I'm saying it's not about the country of Mexico, nor their people. It's that particular city. When you go to London for the games, people go and they take their money and they go around London. They're not just there for the game. They go spend some money, and they go see the sights, right? You can't do that in Mexico City. You're about to get kidnapped down there. Now you got these millionaires.
Well, you could actually drive to the game. You can actually drive to the game.
Well, there's a thought. There's a thought.
You can't drive to London.
There's a thought there. Let's all jump in the caravan and go down. You had a bus ride. You couldn't get to North Carolina. Now you're talking about folks driving to Mexico City.
Drive, you know.
But anyway, you can't. You have these players who are, for the most part, all millionaires and the people surrounding them, and they bring their families down there. And these guys down there that commit these crimes know that. They know they're going to be there. And Bo was,
and
when know, we were talking about this
know,
yesterday.
And they know incredible security is going to be there,
and
too.
So, again, every person that's going to be there going down to visit that is going to have security? No.
I think they're going to have people. This is what's going to be provided for you for the NFL. I'm probably sure they got certain areas you go to that'll be set up for them, and
Sam,
the security will be there.
Sam, why go to an area where you have to have that much security? NFL can take a game anywhere. And yesterday, here's my solution to this. Finish out the contract with Mexico City. Because one of the reasons why they were going to London was there was like an actual conversation about putting a team there, right?
Right.
Well, they're not doing, whether they do that or not, fine. But they're not putting a team in Mexico City. You're not doing it. People get kidnapped more there than anywhere else on the planet. You got all kinds of crime surrounding that. Now, here's what the NFL did. They took a game out of an American city, and they put it somewhere else, meaning the Pro Bowl. Doesn't mean anything, but it's still a game that generates revenue for Honolulu. And they moved it to Orlando.
Still, okay.
They go back and forth.
American city.
I'm saying, so take that game that you were going to have in Mexico City and put it in Hawaii and make it a game that you care about. Yesterday I finished with this. Would you go to Mexico City or would you go to Honolulu to see a Falcons-Saints game?
You can drive to Mexico City.
Man, I ain't talking about driving. I'm talking about going and spending your money. It's ain't
you
about
can drive
driving.
To Mexico
I'm
City.
I'm saying that's a destination that Falcons or Saints fans would rather go to than trying to get down to Mexico City. You're going to another American city. You don't have to worry about going through customs. You ain't got to worry about changing your money. That's just, again, that's where I was going with it yesterday.
But
and they obviously don't care about the NFL.
You can drive.
They don't care about the NFL. They care about soccer down there. Otherwise, they'd have taken care of their stadium and their turf. They don't care. We're not done talking NFL.
No.
Sam and Greg up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. We are going to turn things over to the folks, all a part of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show over there on the
Smooth Lot.
The Smooth Lot.
The Smooth
Coming
Lot.
Up next. I say everybody because I'm not sure who all is over there. I know Wendy's there.
Yes.
I'm not sure because the holiday's right around the corner. Who's working today? But the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is coming up next. We get ready for Cowboys and Falcons. You can hear that game pregame, 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1 o'clock. Followed by tonight, the Vikings and the Bears.
Yeah.
Pregame 7:30, kickoff at 8:30. By the way, Roger, we're going to come to you in just a minute. But remember earlier I had told you about a connection between these two teams? I was going to give you. Because
yes.
of what happened this past week. If you didn't hear, this past week, Presidential Medal of Freedom was given out to a few people. And a few names you may know. Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Roger Staubach, speaking of Cowboys. And Alan Page.
Mm-hmm.
The anchor of what was known as the Purple People Eater, right?
Right.
One of the toughest defenses there were. Went to four Super Bowls. didn't win any, but they went to four Super Bowls. They didn't get four in a row like Marv Levy and those Bills. But when you think of the Chicago Bears, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Seriously, the history of the Chicago Bears, what's the first thing you usually?
I think of Halas.
Okay.
A person or
but a team. You know, one of the, you know.
You think about the defense.
Okay. And you think about the 85 Bears.
That's it.
Do you know that does not happen? And we may not know who Buddy Ryan is were it not for Alan Page. Do you know this?
No.
Alan Page, along with Gary, see, I don't know if a lot of people know about where Buddy Ryan came from. This dude was on the staff with Weeb Eubank when Joe Namath won. Then he goes to Minnesota. By the way, he propped up that Jets defense. But he then goes to Minnesota, and he's a part of the Purple People Eaters defense.
Okay.
Which, of course, Alan Page was a part of.
Right.
The Bears were just the bottom feeders in the early 70s. Okay? And their manager, actually, I want to say late 70s when this happened. But what happened was their coach, who, by the way, for you to know at the time, was a guy named Neil Armstrong.
Right. I remember that.
He was getting ready to get thrown out by George Halas. Alan Page and Gary Fensick wrote a letter to George Halas and said, listen, we know you're going to make some changes around here. We got a pretty good defense. We don't want to take a step backwards. So please do not fire Buddy Ryan and his staff because we think we can be a great defense if you keep him on. And the rest is history. They got rid of Neil Armstrong. This is like 80, 81, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And then the next thing you know, Ditka's out of work. He's looking for something because he's actually coaching under Tom Landry with the Cowboys.
Right.
But Buddy Ryan was retained by George Halas because of a letter that was written by Alan Page and Gary Fensick.
Probably very eloquent.
One ended up being a judge and the other guy went to Yale.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah, it wasn't by Steve McMichael, Mongo. But yeah, and were those guys, if they didn't do that, we may not know who Buddy Ryan is. And because of that, he got to talk, you know what, to Ditka because he wasn't hired. He was hired first.
Right, he was already there.
So he never looked at Ditka as an equal. Get out of my room here. Anyway, if you're just joining us, last segment we were talking about the Monday Night Football game that was moved out of Mexico City back to L.A. Rams going to get themselves a home game and went back and forth about whether or not they should even have this game down there. Now, I realize they got a contract with Mexico. They'll probably keep it, a couple more years? I think they should move that game to Honolulu. They pull the Pro Bowl out of Honolulu. To I don't know if they're going to dance it around in other places other than Orlando, but they pull the revenue stream out of an American city. Now, they're going to give it to another one. Of course, you know, the thing about Orlando is, you know, it's just too bad about them that they don't have anything else in that community that draws revenue. So, anyway, put a game that people care about. Much like this game that was supposed to be there this weekend. Could you imagine if the Saints and the Falcons, they were going to put that game in Mexico City, and instead of that, they put it in Honolulu? How many people would be trying to get to Hawaii to watch that game? That's a destination for a game that counts. And you do it. I've given this some thought. You do it before a bye week because of the travel, just like they do when they play in London.
In London, right.
So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But then you chime in with your driving to Mexico as a reason why it's a destination.
You can.
Yeah, well, this guy Roger from Griffin's got something to say to you. Roger, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Yes. Yes, if you look on a map, buddy, you can drive straight to Mexico City. But there's an issue. It's all of Mexico before that. And I shouldn't say all of it. I had some buddies that left Tucson going south on 15. They were driving down to Mazatlan. And about 200 miles into their drive, and they were driving a nice truck, and they were going to do some fishing, they got stopped. These guys just pulled the truck right out in front of them, got out, and they took everything they had, left them on the side of the road. And they lost their truck and everything. And this is like the northwestern corner up there by Los Mochos. It's all right, kind of right on the coast. Now, if it wasn't for the other side of Mexico, which is the really great people that stopped and gave these guys a hand and got them to a town, and then they had to get he had to get his brother to drive down from Tucson to pick him up. But you do not want to go down there. I mean, why would we go to some place where you have to have so much security and you cannot leave a certain area?
That's my point. You want to go to a place where you can enjoy the city along with the game. And if you do it where the game matters, like I said, a Saints-Falcons game, or pick the matchup. I don't care. And you do it before a bye week, I think the NFL will come out looking like a star. And then you move that Pro Bowl around, which nobody cares about anyway.
You're not expanding your you know.
This league needs some more revenue. Is that what you're saying?
Hey,
please take it someplace, and you're still keeping it in American cities. Go to London once in a while, you know. Go to Vancouver. How about that? Go to Toronto.
They got their own league up there.
Anyway, we're going to turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Top of the hour. One more chance at some jobs up next. Casting call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.